Hey, welcome back to Phil Valentine with you. 1-800-618-PHIL. That's 1-800-618-7445. Of course, you know John Lott. He's been on the show several times. More guns, less crime, the bias against guns, straight shooting, things like this. He's also with the Crime Prevention Research Center, and they're putting on an event that's going to be happening in Nashville on the 10th of April. And Dr. John Lott here to chat with us about that. John, how are you?
Doing great. Great to talk to you.
And you're actually in Nashville for the next couple of days planning this event out. Ted Nugent, Brad Thor, several others. Tell us about this event, how this all came about.
Well, the Crime Prevention Research Center is a little bit over a year old, and been talking to Brad Thor, who lives in Nashville here, and he suggested that we have our first annual dinner here in Nashville to coincide with the NRA convention, and seemed like a great idea. So on Friday, April the 10th, we're going to have Katie Pavlich, Dana Lash, Brad Thor, Ted Nugent, yourself, Grover Norquist, a few other people are going to be there. And then the next day we'll have people can go and bid on their favorite celebrity to go and shoot with at the Nashville Armory.
Wow. So then you can actually go shoot with Ted Nugent.
Right. That should be quite a trip.
Yeah, it should be.
You know, I guess depends what your where your tastes run. You can either try to go shooting with Dana Lash or with Brad Thor or Ted, you know, something there for everybody to try to pick from.
So this is there are a couple of things going on. There's a stand-up dinner, which is a smaller crowd of about 100 folks or so, that people can go and actually mingle with all these folks, get their picture taken and all the rest of it. And then there's the bigger event, which is about 500 and some folks can come to that. Naturally, that's a little less expensive. That's $50, $200 if you want both of them together. This is going to be on the 10th. And people, we have a link to it at our website on the Daily Show Prep today. And we have a one on the site as well. But people can sign up for this. But explain to it, John, to the folks. It's going to be sort of a panel discussion, is my understanding, is what's going to be going on, right?
Well, we'll have some of the people will come and give talks. We're in a real battle right now in terms of getting information out to people. The NRA does great work, but there's kind of a missing link there in terms of getting research done. I mean, Bloomberg, we hear about the $50 million that he's spending each year, but it's not just that. He and others are literally spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to go and produce research, and they're for 2016, they're really gearing up to fund a lot of studies and other things. They're going to come out to try to influence the election. And it's one of the roles of the Crime Prevention Research Center. We have a couple dozen academics around the country who know data in different areas who can hopefully respond quickly when Bloomberg or others come out with their claims about guns. And hopefully we can also put together some studies that can take the initiative and try to accurately measure both the benefits and the costs of owning guns. But, you know, you see Bloomberg making false claims all the time with regard to where shootings occur, you know, what types of weapons are being used. He's made false claims with regard to the number of school shootings that they've been increasing over time. He's just trying to do things to scare people and to try to influence upcoming elections. And I'd like to be part of the solution to try to get accurate information out there.
Well, that's what you guys do at the Crime Prevention Research Center, which is crimeresearch.org. Is that right?
Right. Crimeresearch.org.
So when we're looking here, John, we're talking about John Lott. And you've written about this. I want to back up a little bit with you went into this primarily as a statistician, as somebody that was just looking at the stats and trying to figure out where the truth was as far as guns. And once you got into the research of it, you discovered something very interesting, that guns don't cause crime. They actually prevent more crime than they're actually used in crime. Was that a startling epiphany for you at the time?
You know, it was a major change in my worldview. I mean, I was affected as much as anybody by the media. You constantly hear about bad things that happen with guns and almost never hear about the benefits. I mean, when was the last time you watched a national evening news report, maybe other than Fox, and heard any story about people using guns to protect themselves or protect somebody else? You know, if you can readily recall what seems like 1,000 bad cases that happen and can't recall any benefits, I think I was affected as much as anybody else. I had been deeply involved in doing research on crime. I'd been chief economist at the United States Sentencing Commission. I'd published a large number of academic papers, and I was teaching on crime. In fact, when I kind of got into the gun control issue, it was by accident. I was teaching a class on crime at the Wharton Business School, and I kind of made the mistake of telling my students that we were a little bit ahead in the syllabus. And so some students came up to me after class and asked if I could go and talk about gun control. And I said, sure, but it forced me to more carefully look at the literature at that time on guns and crime, and it was amazingly bad. I mean, there wasn't one single academic study that even tried to account for any type of impact of law enforcement on crime rates when they were looking at gun control. I could go on for hours about the problems. And one of the reasons why you do research as an academic is if you think you can do a better job. But, you know, as I got more into it, I realized how many misconceptions people had about guns, including myself, and how poorly done the existing academic research was. You know, you'd have somebody that would look at 31 counties from across the United States. I mean, how do you pick 31 counties when there's 3,140? I mean, it's just not, you know, kosher just to go and selectively pick which counties you want to go and look at. And so, you know, I ended up writing my book, More Guns, Less Crime. And as you mentioned earlier, I've done a lot of other research. But there are other academics that are out there, and we're trying to provide a framework and resources so that people can quickly respond. I mean, the problem is when Bloomberg comes out with a study or somebody else, Soros or others do, they don't provide their data. We have to be able to go and quickly access the data, put it together, and get things together kind of within the same news cycle. I mean, you know how the media works on these types of things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing that came to mind, too, was in Michigan last week. I'm sure you saw the story about the guy who brought his gun. And I wasn't aware of this in Michigan. You can carry actually a gun on school grounds as long as it's not concealed. So this guy, you know, he carries his gun everywhere he goes. He went to his sister's recital at school after hours and, you know, of course, did not conceal his weapon. Well, the choir director had a hissy fit and was up there taking pictures of him while he's sitting there in the crowd. And then he called the police, and the police show up, and they pull him out, and they ask him a bunch of questions, and he shows them his carry permit, and they let him come back in. And then some professor from University of Michigan at Flint, who was there, is standing up on a stool as people are exiting the auditorium, screaming about how this guy has a gun and that he's dangerous for kids. There's no danger at all. But people, they just go nuts when they see somebody with a gun.
Right. I mean, Michigan has like 500,000 concealed carry permit holders. You know, those two individuals who were freaking out there probably have been next to people in grocery stores and movie theaters and other places and didn't even know that the person next to them was there and available to go and protect them if anything bad had happened. But, you know, the thing is, those people are affected as much by the news media as I think I was at one time. You know, that people get their impressions about the costs and benefits of different things by how frequently they think they're used in different ways. And if you only hear about bad things that happen, it's not, with guns, it's not, unfortunately, surprising that you end up getting people with those types of reactions.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think it was in More Guns, Less Crime, where you had talked about, and this is one of those things that stuck in my mind, you talked about a friend of yours, I think it was in California, who had dropped his kid off at school. We've talked about this, and there was a sign that says it's a gun-free zone, And he says, you know, if I took that sign and put it in my front yard, do I think I'm more or less likely to be robbed? And you right. know, that I'd never thought of it that way, but that's, you know, that's an interesting way to look at it. Nobody in their right mind is going to advertise that they're living in a gun-free zone, but we do this with schools every day.
Right. Look, I mean, I've ended up over the years now debating lots of people from gun control groups, and one of the questions that I pose is that exact same question. Would you put a sign like that in front of your home? And even the head of the Brady campaign or other gun control groups would not say that they would put a sign like that in front of their home because they know it wouldn't be credible with the audience for them to go and say that. But, you know, you're exactly right. If even the head of different gun control groups won't put a sign like that in front of their home because they know that rather than making the place safer, it's going to make it more dangerous. Why would we want to put a sign like that in front of other sensitive areas that we care about? You know, just a couple weeks ago, the Somali terrorist group that had been behind the Westland Mall killing in Kenya, where they had killed like 68 people and wounded 158 others, was threatening the Mall of America in Minnesota, the largest mall in the United States. You know, that mall has gun-free zone signs around it.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody really think that the terrorist groups, if they went up to the mall there, would say, geez, you know, we're not allowed to take our guns in there. We can't go and attack.
Oh, I know. And that's what this guy said, this professor at University of Michigan at Flint, de Blasio, I believe his name, maybe related to the mayor of New York. The guy's saying, we need to have signs here that says that people can't carry a gun in school. I'm going, what kind of idiot thinks that's going to stop folks from coming into the school who want to do harm?
Right. But just the reverse. I mean, one of the things that we found out is that if you look at all the mass public shootings in the United States since at least 1950, with just two exceptions, every single one takes place where guns are banned. And it's not by accident. I mean, just look at some of the cases over the last year that are well known, the Santa Barbara killer. If you read his 141-page manifesto, and I have to read these things as part of my job, but if you read that, what you find after you kind of get by the parts where he's complaining about women not appreciating what a wonderful guy he is, he goes through in excruciating detail about how he picked the targets that he did. And he explicitly talks about worrying whether somebody might be there at a gun in certain venues. And he says if people might be able to stop him, he's not going to go and attack them. He's going to find a soft target. You look at the, in June last year, the mass public shooting that occurred in Canada, in Moncton, New Brunswick. That killer there had on his Facebook page a dozen comics dealing with gun-free zones. He had one comic where victims are running away. One of the victims is stumbling, kind of looking back at the killer and saying, guns are banned here. You're not allowed to be shooting people in this area.
Yeah.
And the killer has a bubble above his head basically saying what a moron as he's pointing his gun at the victim who's trying to get away.
So he's laughing at these very people who were making it easier for him to kill.
Right. He knew the benefits of gun-free zones. That's the reason why he's putting up the comic. And he chose a place where he knew people weren't going to be able to defend themselves. But, you know, you see mall shootings time after time. I could go through the whole list, but, you know, you may have 8 enclosed malls in the area. Only one will have posted signs. Where do you think the killers go? They go to the one that posts signs. You look at the Batman movie theater shooting a couple years ago in Colorado.
Yeah, he bypassed like 2 or 3 theaters that were closer to his home, went to the one where he could have his way with folks that banned guns.
Right. There were 7 movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of the killer's apartment. Only one of those posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. That's the one he went to. You know, and at some point, people have to realize that this isn't random. And in Tennessee, if you have a concealed carry permit, you can take your gun almost any place. There's some places that are posted. But, you know, if it was random, and most rights carry states are like that, If it was random, then 98, 99% of the attacks would be taking place where guns are allowed. Instead, the attacks keep on occurring in those tiny areas within the state where people aren't allowed to go and defend themselves. These killers want to commit suicide, but they want to commit suicide in a way that's going to get them attention.
And on their terms, on their terms. That's exactly right.
Well, they know if they... Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, we're about out of time on this segment, but I just wanted to urge people to be a part of this. This is John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center, and they're putting on an event here in Nashville for those of you that are at our flagship station here in Nashville. It's going to be on April 10th, and we have details under the Daily Show Prep today at philvalentine.com. It'll be Brad Thor, Ted Nugent, Dana Lash. I'll be the MC of this thing. There's a bunch more folks, and you can find out how to sign up there, get your tickets, and the whole nine yards. John, looking forward to it. Thanks very much.
Thank you.